This is an audio recording of Halloween Erotica, Truly, Madly, Deeply. Before I start, just to give you a little note, this story is written for Halloween, and the idea is that it's meant to be a tale of kind of creepiness with a bit of sex thrown in. I do a different one of these each year. You can see the two from the last previous years over at the Audio Porn Hub, girlonthenet.com/audioporn. And because it's written for Halloween, it's obviously meant to be quite creepy and scary. It also contains some themes that you might find disturbing, including references to drowning, self-harm, and suicidal ideation. Truly, Madly, Deeply. It's funny the paths life nudges you down. 6 months ago, I'd never have seen myself enjoying this isolated life, spending my days relishing the hug of the cold in my bones, and my nights inhaling the freezing wind that blows off the lock. 3 months ago, I'd have said I would die without laughter. But today I prefer the cold, muffled echoes that you only find in deep water. 1 month ago, I'd never have found myself pondering the question, how long does it take for a human being to drown? It's cliche, this getaway. That's what everyone told me. Failed artist leaves the city after a bad breakup and goes to live in the wilds. No internet, no phone, no shops, no one to call if you go mad and feel like screaming. It will either make or break you, they said, and I believed them. Good job too, because it turns out they were right. I like to have the windows open here. Visitors used to complain about it. The lock's so cold, Vivian, you'll catch your death. And it annoyed me. I like to sit in the armchair by the living room window and submerge myself in the atmosphere of the lock at dusk. Why wouldn't I want to hear the wind whipping down from the mountains? Smell the water as it changes throughout the seasons. My open windows were a problem for them. But it's funny how some problems disappear when you change your perspective. The visitors don't come anymore. Problem solved. I don't mind. I'm not lonely. I've fallen in love. I'm in love, and she has the most beautiful voice. If I could paint her, I wouldn't paint her face, but the cadence of her voice. In strokes of silver on dark, dark green, almost black. I'd cast a melody across the canvas, because her voice was the first thing I knew of her. Let's back up a bit before I introduce you. There's someone else you need to meet. Nick. Say his name aloud and you'll know him as well as you need to. Nick. Nick. Solid and steadfast. Practical and abrupt. Nick. Short for Nicholas, but he'd never respond to that. Never want you to waste more than a single syllable in summoning him. He'd want nothing to delay him in rushing to your side. Like a faithful sidekick. Like Lassie. I loved Nick for a while, even if it's hard to remember why. I know he used to praise my work, look at me with this kind of slack-jawed awe, as if what I did was more important than just slopping paint around on canvas. He used to stand behind me while I was working, wrapping one arm round my waist, like a cat weaving between my calves, nuzzling and purring in the crook of my neck. He used to call me genius. I don't think he was joking. Just thick. Dull. Dry in exactly the way a good man should be. Caring and kind and considerate and wildly in love with me. I remember one night when I told him I looked forward to death, and he cried. Great heaving sobs, as if it would matter. As if I was someone. It was deceptive, when you think about it. and certainly smothering. He used to fuck me with such gentleness, such delicacy, that the heat from his body above mine, close and humid and sickly, occasionally made me choke. The night that I left, he just stared at me in wide-eyed shock. And I remember thinking at the time, I love him. Why am I leaving? But left I did, and now I can't really remember what it was that I loved in the first place. I do know now why I left. Something was pulling me away. Someone. Her. The first night in this cottage, I sat with the windows open, and I heard her voice, silver on green, spilling over the calm night air like water pouring into my lungs. I remember wondering if she lived nearby, or if the night was just so clear that it could carry sound from all the way across the lock. It took a long time before I heard that voice again. And in the meantime, I worried that I'd be driven mad by searching. Each day I walked out onto the path that cuts through the low-lying land, staring across the black waters, taking note of where the lights dotted the bank on the far side. Where is she? Who is she? On day 27, she was back, singing wordlessly but beautifully, almost keening. It's a cliche to say that her voice sounds like water, but if you've ever heard water, I mean really listened, you'll know exactly what I mean. I was drawn to her, dragged to her, as if her voice could penetrate the centre of my chest, stick a fat silver hook inside, and just yank me towards the water. Once I'd heard her again, I sketched a picture of the colours of her song and sent it to Nick. But it was imperfect. It couldn't capture the ache of longing that resonated in the air. When he replied to tell me he loved it, I was so disappointed. Tore up his words into tiny pieces, then cast them into the water. Meanwhile, I waited for her to return. I marked the days off on my calendar, and if I'm honest, I marked the nights too. In the same way each evening, sitting by the open window, gorging myself on the scent of the lock, running my fingers through the wet slit of my cunt and keening, just like she did, as I came. When she sang for the third time, I lay naked on the bank, skin blushing red with the cold, stones beneath my buttocks. I sang with her and I cried with her and I rubbed myself in time to the ebb and flow of her music. I'd never felt so frightened or so calm. I wrote to Nick again. Why not? He told me, "Don't be a stranger." So I wrote like a friend, telling him about the precious woman with the rippling voice. I didn't tell him that I loved her, or that when I heard her for the third time, it confirmed what I already knew. I would do anything, even die, to get a single glimpse of her face. I just told him I heard the woman from my sketch. I told him she sounded compelling and beautiful and dangerous like the lock. He replied asking if I wanted him to visit, telling me to take care, reminding me I was loved. See what I mean about Nick? Dry. 27 days after that appearance, I thought, why not, and hired a boat. By now I knew I wouldn't find her on foot, and I wanted a chance, just one, to see her with my eyes as well as my mind. The owner of the silver green voice who called to me so beautifully. I rowed until my arms were sore, following the insistent timbre of her song until I was no longer chasing it, but feeling the music roil and swell in the air itself surrounding me. I still couldn't see her, just the odd flash of silver as a fish neared the surface and the deep black water all around. The water looked comforting. It looked like home. I took off every stitch of clothing and slipped naked into the lock. As I floated within reach of the boat, I sensed her nearby. The powerful presence cutting through the water with a speed that was far beyond human. I felt the water parting around me as somewhere deep below, she twisted and propelled herself, closing the icy distance between our bodies. I wasn't afraid. By the time she was close, all I felt was an overwhelming sense of calm. My limbs felt too heavy to move, but that didn't seem to matter. They were exactly where they needed to be. In the water, within her reach. She caressed me with slippery fingers, so gently at first that it could have just been nighttime ripples on the surface of the lock. She nudged at the soles of my feet and the backs of my calves, giving shivery little kisses to the pale spaces between each one of my toes. Tendrils of her hair snaked beneath me like pondweed, cushioning me, preventing me from sinking down into the blackness. That's when I knew she loved me back. Her voice, her hair, her touch was all around me. The swell of her wordless singing gave as much pleasure as her fingers did, coiling around my calves and thighs, etching silver trails along my back and buttocks and the soft white skin on the inside of my arms. My breathing slowed along with my heart, drawn out, shallow breaths that gave me space to truly feel her song. I moaned. And in that moment I could have sworn her song changed, adding my bass note of urgent lust to the ethereal swell of her music, as if she weren't just drawing out my pleasure, but consuming it. Her hands by now were no longer gentle. They were greedy, insistent, rushing over my wet skin, scrabbling with slick fingertips to find purchase on my shivering body. I tried to push against the current, nudging myself in the right direction so her hands and fingers would land where I needed, at the curve on the side of my breasts and the slit at the top of my thighs. Above all, I wanted her touch on my wet, eager clit, the epicenter of my now languid pulse. But still I couldn't move. I had to just sink into pleasure as she expertly manoeuvred me in the water, stroking my breasts, grabbing at my thighs, running her hands and hair and voice around my waist and chest, as if she was binding me in the water, gaining sustenance from my presence, as if she were hungry and only my body could sate her. She ran her tongue up to the base of my neck, leaving shivers of pleasure that thrummed within my skull, and kissed firmly down my spine, before slipping her tongue, gently and coldly, to the pulsing centre of my cunt. The thump of my heart slowed further in response, as if it wanted to suspend time so I could spend more of it with her. Frozen with fear and love, twisted by her own hands as I lay suspended in the water, I cried out once more in pleasure at the insistent sucking kisses of her lips against my clit before she drew me below the surface into her embrace, pressing her mouth against mine in the murky darkness, surrounding me with tendrils of hair that caressed every inch of my skin, filling me with water and her fingers and her song. I've never felt as full, as fulfilled, as the night that she fucked me. I didn't tell Nick this, of course, though I think I did write to him again. I must have. My memory fades in and out these days, as it always does when one's in love. I remember the feeling of her fingers in my cunt and the slippery silver kisses down my spine. But I can't remember what I wrote that prompted Nick to find me. Perhaps I told him I love her, or explained how I conjure her voice to soothe me to sleep. Perhaps I told him my plans to be with her again, or asked him how long it takes, you know, for a human being to drown. But I cannot remember, and I'm worried I may have betrayed myself. 3 weeks ago, when I heard her song again, it struck a different note in my skull, one that rang like an alarm. It resonated for too long, shaking out a different memory. The words "help me" scrawled in blue ink on a postcard. The word "dying" scratched deep in icy skin. When I breathe in, the air gushes down into my lungs like water, and sometimes when I breathe out, I find myself gargling nonsense, whispering, "Nick," in a voice that's weak like drowning. "Nick, I need you. Please come." They were right when they said that this trip would make or break me. I am made. I am made whole with purpose and love. I don't need Nick's warmth or his purrs of adoration. I just need her cold fingers and green silver song. She needs me to join her, to nourish her in the lock. I will not let her down. Nick responded to my call, as I knew he would. Blew right in from the past like nothing had changed. Kind, warm, trusting Nick, who never stopped offering help or begging me to take care, even as he started to slur his own words. Even as he slumped in his chair, succumbing to inky unconsciousness. Even now he's bound and helpless, he still offers comfort. Dark eyes brimming with tears of love. Gagged lips ever ready to forgive me. I'm so lucky that he's my first. I suspect the next Nick will be far less understanding. As I haul his bound body to the boat and cover it with blankets to keep his faithful heart beating, I wonder how he will taste to her. Whether he'll be hot and dry the way I imagine. I wonder too whether each will taste different to the one before, and how her song will change as she consumes them. Healing herself at first, then growing stronger and more beautiful with each soul that's plunged into the lock. I no longer wonder how long it takes for a human to drown, but I do wonder how she'll reward me. We'll meet her tonight, together. I will row him out to the centre of the lock and summon her with deep ripples as I tip him gently over the edge. Then I'll slip naked into the water and succumb to her song. Let her reward me with her hands and lips and voice. Let her love me as I know she must love me, as we always love those who respond to our cries for help. If you liked that, you can hear more audio porn at girlonthenet.com/audioporn. If you're listening to this around Halloween, which is when it's initially being published, then you should be able to see on the front page of the Audio Porn Hub, I've put a couple of the older Halloween stories as well. One features zombies, and another one features a succubus. Yay! I really like goth shit. And I quite like the challenge of writing something that combines sex and creepiness for Halloween. I'm a big fan of like creepy stories. No, I promise not all of the audio porn is as weird and dark as this, though. There is plenty of audio porn that is just about super hot sex things that happened, true stories or fiction posts as well. If you would like to hear more, go to the audio porn hub at girlonthenet.com/audioporn, or come to Patreon and support me on Patreon and help you make more of it at patreon.com/girlonthenet.